Welcome to the Beard Me That Beer podcast show. I'm David.
And I'm Sam.
And today we're going to do things a little differently. I have not told Sam what we are doing today. What's the topic? What website are we going to? What test are we taking? He has no idea.
I'm absolutely in the dark right now.
And usually we say the idea now. But first, the news. Sam?
Why did you snort? Headline, police, another colon this week, restaurant break-in suspect, consumed beer, comma, ice cream, and that's it, that's the end of the headline. There's no, it looks like there should be more. There's a colon and there's a comma, but then there's only one comma with no and.
It sounds like the police broke in.
It's very confusing. Yeah. I don't know who wrote this.
So police are saying someone broke into a restaurant.
And drank beer and ate ice cream.
Sounds like a great restaurant. Is this Applebee's?
I'm about to find out.
Chili's.
This is dated the 18th of November.
All right.
In Asheville, North Carolina. Officers,
can you actually pronounce the NC
Asheville
one more time?
NC,
no, not Nice, not Nice.
No, I don't. That's unnecessary. That's all.
C, you don't pronounce C with a K.
Okay. Officers with the North Carolina Police Department appeared to have no trouble finding the suspect in a break-in, possibly because he had a stomach ache. Asheville police say in a news release that patrol officers apprehended the man who broke into a downtown restaurant on Monday and apparently helped himself to some beer and ice cream. According to a news release, officers responded to a business on Patton Avenue after a report of a forcible breaking and entering. The officers found open alcohol containers and after a brief investigation, they found the suspect nearby. The man is charged with two counts of larceny after breaking and entering, felony breaking and entering. That's weird phrasing. The man was also served with an open warrant for second degree trespass. His bond is set at $3,000. Now, that is the end of the text. And I thought there was more to this than that. It's
fine.
Just the guy just broke into a building for beer and treats.
What is he?
I don't know what the motivation is. I need more from
all,
the story.
He had a stomach ache. Is that conjecture or factual?
It says,
perhaps,
possibly.
So this writer is being a giant.
So it's like
douche.
It's like he drank and ate too much. And
we don't know
what
that.
What I gather from this, it's like he ate and drank too much, and then he passed out in the place. Is what it sounds like.
They said they found him nearby. They didn't find him in the place.
Like in the parking lot?
I don't know. Like, what's the one thing, like, evidence? Like, cookie jar and there's crumbs all over you? Maybe he had a bunch of ice cream smeared all over his face?
I want just dry ice cream and, like, a big beard and just, like, a trail of urine from, like,
beer.
A broken window
to,
like...
He's not a fucking rat. Just peeing on the ground.
He sounds like a rat.
Okay. I mean, he is. But he's not physically
I'm not wrong.
A rat. He's not dragging his testicles on the ground.
We don't know. Peeing. That's not mentioned.
All right.
I can infer.
Rat man breaks in.
Yeah. That's a much more colorful story.
Or raccoon boy.
Raccoon, yeah. Or it's like the bat kid from the... You remember those old National Enquirer? You never seen him? You never seen like an old black and white newspaper? It's just like lies.
I know what the National Enquirer is. Why you bring it up
I don't know, man.
Beyond me.
That's fun.
All right.
Just wholesome fun.
Don't steal beer or ice cream, even though they're both delicious.
Just pay for it.
I mean...
Like you're supposed to.
You should. That's capitalism.
Or be friends with people that have the things, and then maybe they'll share some with you.
Thanks for the news, Sam.
You're welcome.
Time for the beer. All right, from North Park Beer Company. We have had North Park for sure
on the podcast.
Not all the beer. This one is Pogo Stick Whip.
It is
a POG milkshake IPA. Do you know what POG is, Sam?
Pog. Like a pog champ. Like that meme thing. What is it?
Poggers.
Poggers, yeah. There we go.
This is not that. But good.
I got
very,
see,
very
I know
good
things.
Estimate.
Yeah.
Like guess.
Yeah.
Like you did some brain
it's
work.
It's relevant.
On it. Yeah. You're not right.
You could see the leap I made.
I will say this. You're not right. But you're not wrong.
Huh. I'll take it.
So, I don't know what POG is, like where it's from, but in the beer world, it stands for passion fruit, orange, and guava. POG.
Okay, I follow.
So the fruit
I follow
that is used. In this beer, this is a POG milkshake double IPA with mosaic hops, passion fruit, orange, guava, milk, sugar, and Mexican vanilla bean.
Ooh.
So what makes vanilla bean Mexican? I'm asking you as the culinary expert on the show.
I mean, I would imagine it's produced in Mexico.
You would think, right?
Or by Mexicans.
Or that.
Latinos.
Like all
Latino niños.
Like all things in this room are manufactured and built by small little children in countries that don't pay them much.
Your words.
Cheers.
All right. Let's get.
Let me just uncap. Why
this
he still fucking does that?
Huh?
Why do you tap the top?
Because I like to.
Why? Have you ever not done that?
Yeah. I feel incomplete. It doesn't feel right.
That's why I think you just do it because you're like,
it's a mechanical thing. I'm like, it's gross. It's
like wiping
icky to me.
After you take a shit. Like you feel gross. Afterwards.
No, it's not. It's really not, David. I don't know. Why would you say that?
This
to me?
Smells amazing.
Disgusting. Does it? Well, it doesn't smell like a diaper.
It doesn't. I don't know why.
It says it. It says D-I-P-A. Sound
diaper.
It out.
Spell
use
diaper.
Your words.
Spell diaper.
Diaper.
Spell diaper.
I'm not saying diaper. No, I'm saying diaper.
I'm asking you to spell.
Like I'm from like New Jersey. It's
I'm
a
asking
diaper.
You to spell the word that you are saying with your mouth.
D-I-P-A.
You're adding an R at the end. What's it taste like?
Ooh, mama, that smells and tastes real good.
I don't taste real any beer.
No, it doesn't taste
real. It's really heavily creamy, sweet, really good taste. I don't get vanilla bean. I get sugar, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Orange. The carbonation tricks it into like orange soda. I taste the guava.
It's weird. It starts and it almost tastes like a dreamsicle kind of.
Dreamsicle, yeah. It's very creamy.
But
maybe
then like the
vanilla
the,
bean, I
the,
guess.
That it like subtly morphs the flavor into like.
I do I not really like know. The aftertaste 30 seconds after. It tastes great. And then it just gets stale. Makes you want to drink more.
Like it's weird. It does. It hits you with that cream pop flavor, and then it suddenly just turns kind of sharp, mm-hmm. for like in I wouldn't say an unpleasant way, but it's just like a little.
Citrusy.
It's just
acidic to me. It's very acidic and very citrusy. Mm-hmm. It tastes like orange soda, mm-hmm. but with I don't want to say creamsicle because when I have like a creamsicle or cream soda, this does not taste like that.
It doesn't taste like a soda. It tastes like a. Like the ice cream to me.
Yeah, but not, like, I guess vanilla bean, yeah. But they don't use vanilla bean in creamsicles, right?
I'm just telling you what it tastes like. That's
science building vanilla.
Yes, what you said.
That's good. Damn. A little, now it's really tart. I'm getting a lot more passion fruit, I think.
I definitely, you know what it is? It's that end bit. I think that's the guava. That you mentioned, because it kind of has like a.
I'm finding it hard to, like, hey, that's that and that.
That's literally
very well.
It's literally the last thing I'm tasting. It just it trails off into like a sharp guava-ish kind of passion
the
fruity
first time I got
kind
the,
of
the tart.
Dragon fruit-esque taste.
There's no dragon fruit. In
I'm just saying it's that kind of quality.
Do you know what
a
dragon fruit is?
Yeah, it's got like wings.
Like the nipples on the dragon. That's what they.
Yeah,
it's fruit.
Yeah. They just carve them out.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all of it. That's the whole process. Yeah.
If you guys didn't know that dragon fruit is actually dragon nipples off Komodo dragons.
Yep.
I don't even think Komodo dragons have nipples.
You know what? I cannot honestly say that I could answer that.
Do reptiles have nipples? They don't milk.
It's a mammal thing.
Yeah.
Reptiles, it's like eggs.
Or
for the most part,
platypuses. They have eggs.
Nature's chimera.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
Nature's what the fuck?
That's the randomizer button in play right there. Just boop.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I got a duck bill and like a beaver body and
Yeah.
And it's poisonous.
Is it?
Yeah.
Its claws are poisonous?
I don't know if the claws are poisonous. I know it's poisonous.
Like if you eat it?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know if it's what poisonous, you mean by that. I think it's poisonous whether you eat it or not.
Well, like a snake, you can take the venom sac out of it. I'm asking how that poison comes out. Teeth or claws or it protrudes it out of its skin.
I would imagine it's probably the claws, but who knows? Maybe it's like the tails like lathered in a...
I actually think it's poisonous.
I'm pretty sure it's poisonous.
What?
Why wouldn't it be? Look at it.
Why wouldn't it be?
It absolutely is.
Look at it. It's a fucking freak.
I'm going to Wiki. I'm going to find out later.
Anyways, this beer's great. And it's Pogo. And it's three little fruit jumping up. I thought guavas were green. This is a very...
Maybe it's an unripe.
Unripe. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a premature.
And
it's a guava.
That's a passion fruit. I didn't know a passion fruit looked like a mango.
I mean, it looks too cheerful, I think, but...
They all look creepy.
But like in different ways, like... The orange one is just like...
The orange one has killed multiple
people. Yeah, he's like, he's hiding murder.
Yeah.
And then the one in the middle's like...
On drugs, actually. Look at his eyes. They're a little...
I was going to say...
He's high.
I was going to say the purple one definitely looks like it's on drugs.
Yeah. And then...
This... I don't know. The center one... They all look suspicious in different ways.
Passion fruit's the poser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, No Fork Beer Company. It's good. It's just leaving a real... I don't like the taste that's left over. I want to keep drinking more.
You just want to drown it out with the before aftertaste taste.
So it's like a
the beer pre-taste you, taste.
A beer you sip every 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Time to let Sam know what we're doing today.
I'm cautiously excited. I'm going to laugh if it's something super lame.
Sam, are you ready for today's topic?
Depends.
I'm going to tell you the title. Are you ready? Let me actually get my questions ready.
Oh, you prepared with questions?
Yeah.
So, like, do I have to respond with questions in kind?
Yes.
But I don't know what we're doing. They're not going to be as good, as well thought out. This is going to be, it's probably going to be really bad.
On this episode of the Beard Me That Beer podcast show, this is the Sam Onsell musical interview.
Are you fucking kidding me? Get out of here. Are you serious?
Sam, what was the first song, band, or event that first gave you inspiration to become a musician?
I don't think I like this right now. Really? Are you serious? You're not like...
Would I memorize that?
I don't know. I don't know how committed you are to a bit.
Committed.
Why? That's so much. Show the camera. Look at all the text you put out there.
I don't think they can see it.
That's gross.
Yeah, it starts up here. It's just a couple 10 questions.
Okay, David, then I'm going to ask you.
You're not asking me anything. This is the Sam Onsell
musician interview.
What was the first song, band, event that first gave you the inspiration to become a musician? These are thoughtful questions, by the way. So if you don't give a thoughtful answer, you're a dick.
I'll be honest, but I'm like...
There, okay.
They're like, that's fine. That's all we want.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm going to lie.
I'm going to lie through my teeth.
Freddie Mercury.
One more time. So I just properly register. This episode's not going to do good. It's going to have low views,
I've
this one.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time. My pen is not working.
Oh, fantastic.
There we go. What was the first song or band or event that first gave you the inspiration to become a musician?
So, like, are we talking like that got me interested in music or like to...
Made you want to... Well, because for the people that don't know, Sam started with the trumpet, right?
Yeah.
What... The catalyst to that.
Family, for they the most you. Part. No,
you,
no,
you
it's
were
like...
forced like a common whore.
No, so, all right. I'll do like the short kind of detailed answer. So it's like I come from a somewhat musical family. Mm-hmm. Not really like performing artists, but it's like instrumentalist kind of family. Mm-hmm. So it's like my grandmother played like a couple different kind of string instruments. I had a few uncles that played string instruments and then like various kind of woodwind and brass kind of things. Mm-hmm. So around time when I was hitting middle school and band was like an option, I had I think a couple older cousins that were like playing trumpet at the time, and they just had, we had like a couple like loose horns in the family, like, oh, if you do it, we'll go ahead and use one of these. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And like I didn't really have like a, I guess I didn't have like a developed musical taste at that point, because it's just like all of the stuff I listened to would just be like in the car with whatever my like parents were listening to. Like I didn't have like, yeah, no, I didn't have that yet. Or maybe I did at that point. Apple 65. That's just like school, the think, first yeah. catchy thing I found on my own. But like I hadn't developed like my own like yeah. sense of, I'm like, oh, but these are the things I like.
You were involved with it.
Yeah.
Family wise.
Yeah. They're like, oh, just do it. It's like, it'll be good for you. And I was like, okay. It'll be
good for you.
Yeah. It's good. You need some kind of,
yeah, you need culture.
Constructive thing in your life. Outside of other things. Yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah. But I think when I first started to kind of like find music on my own, I think, you know, like the emo stuff was real big at the time. And I think the first thing I found, I think I talked about this before, but I found Jimmy Eat World had just released mm-hmm. like Futures. Mm-hmm. And like, I think I was just channel surfing and I found it on like VH1 or something. Like they were playing the video for Pain. I really like that song. Mm-hmm. And then I found that, and then I kind of like stumbled into a
Pain,
couple other groups.
Wasn't that?
Which one? That was one of the singles.
On Jimmy Eat World?
On Futures. I don't feel the way okay. I am. Yeah. Yeah, and then from there I kind of like stumbled into like MyCam and probably like the Used and all the other big like emo pop punk kind of things
way
at the time.
Way more emo too. Yeah. Because then there was like pop emo, and
yeah,
then what Sam is describing as probably real grungy emo.
Yeah, I was just kind of like
yeah.
shopping around and
they,
like
they
finding
were, at the time without realizing they were just way more dramatic music.
Yeah, especially when you get into like MyCam and like
yeah.
the, and the
it was
used,
like a show.
Like,
every
yeah.
song was like a show.
Yeah, I was like they're those guys are. I've kind of like just. In my mind, I've cemented them. It was like they're like the drama kids of like the emo
yeah.
rock scene, because they're just they're yeah. so dramatic yeah. in all their stuff. So
and you can, it's like very artistic.
Yeah, and then shortly after that, like Fall Out Boy and Panic and all that stuff. So you know, that's a big influence for me.
Okay, so Family was really the first.
That was the push
yeah. into
musicianship, into finding that
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, okay. So. But I will say, I was doing all that stuff, but I wasn't very passionate about it. I was just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah. You're just like, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah. I was doing
it
because I made friends doing it. Mm-hmm. And like, but I wasn't really super excited.
You're like, I can't wait to go. And
yeah.
Now it's just like another class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What instruments do you play?
All right, the ones I get the most practice on are my voice mm-hmm. And the ukulele mm-hmm. right now. But I do know I'm slowly like I kind of know like guitar chords and stuff, and I'm.
You don't kind of know guitar chords.
I do kind of. I know like basic, like
you know,
just the regular major,
you know them.
A lot of major and minor chords. But like I couldn't do like, you know. I don't think I could go and do like a pentatonic scale off the top of my head on like a guitar or
with
something
chords?
Like that. Well, I mean, like
you got to be a real musician for
or
that.
Just go through like modes and stuff. Yeah, I like no nothing really technical.
Yeah, yeah.
I can fumble around on keys a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I can't probably play something straight, but I can figure stuff out.
But if someone gave you this part, like learn this, you probably learn it.
Yeah, give me a little bit of time, yeah, and I'll knock it out. But I'm not a sight reader like
yeah,
that.
I mean, can you sight read with any instrument you play?
I mean, I used to with like horns, yeah. like trumpets, and I can more or less do it with ukulele.
High school level,
yeah,
music,
yeah. As long as it's just like, you know, like not
as long as
triplets
I'm not the only
going between
playing.
Time signatures and tempos and.
3-4
and five, just six. Up and down multiple octaves.
Three.
Yeah. But I, you know, those are probably the things I know best, but I feel like if you give me a little time with something, I can at least kind of on an elementary level figure mm-hmm. something out. So yeah.
Describe your sound/style.
my sound slash style. Mm-hmm. I think my comfy space, I can't really, I just generally like to lump it in and call it like pop rock kind of. It's not necessarily just pop rock, because I like to pull from a couple different things, but, and sometimes that means that, you know, song to song, it's not necessarily consistent, because I feel like they're all kind of doing their own thing, but I'll say pop rock.
Okay.
But I do have like a lot of like,
I wish there was like a genre, because that kind of music, it doesn't feel rock, but it's not pop, but it's not punk.
It's like
there's like a soft.
If you had like a Venn diagram,
there's a softer version of rock.
Yeah,
and punk,
but it's not soft rock.
It's not.
It's like harder than soft rock, but it's not rock rock.
But it's not hard. Yeah, but it's not soft, because soft rock is like
it's
soft.
Like, that's like slow. That's not slow jams. It's the way we name things is like kind of frustrating sometimes.
Well, it's like if you took like a Chuck Berry's softest rock song, soft rock, but you can't describe Johnny B. Good as rock.
I mean, Johnny B. Good is
it rockabilly, maybe.
It is, but it is definitely rooted in rock.
But I'm just saying, I think there should be a term for songs that use guitar, use bass, use drums, but it's not rock.
Settle for like pop rock.
And I guess you can just use pop, but now pop is so ambiguous.
That's why I try and like, kind of help a little more by giving
really
the extra.
Just defined as popular.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Even like outside of just that, like I've been asked that before, and like I just don't, I'm still trying to find a good answer for that, because I don't know. I don't think I'm a very good judge of my own sound either.
Yeah. And then also like, the stereotypical ukulele is not pop music.
I mean, like, I know the way I tend to write and play, it's like, I don't think that's what comes to mind for most people when you say, oh, I play ukulele.
Oh, you must only play Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, I love Jason Mraz. Yeah. I'm like, me too, but I don't think I sound like that. I can sound
if
like
Jason
that.
If Jason Mraz came out now, I think it'd be closer than Jason Mraz, 25 years ago? Now, because, you know, technology.
Yeah, I mean, like, influence. That would mean he would have been closer to my age, and he would have heard more contemporary stuff, and then, like, that would have influenced. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But that's, you know, time you come up and all that.
But, yeah, I don't think you're Jason Mraz.
No. I can definitely do a pretty sweet rendition of I'm Yours and other
and all 500 other thousand people that have ever
yes very basic cover
you
yeah.
can literally Google it and it just
everybody
you could not scroll through. I don't think Google's like, no, 50 pages, that's it, we're done.
Go,
after that,
just type in like
actually,
ukulele
don't
covers
even waste your time, don't do it.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, if you were to type in ukulele covers on YouTube, just about everybody I'm sure that posts ukulele videos has covered that song.
I'm Yours. What's that other?
That Train song.
Yeah,
Train. Hey, Soul Sister. Fucking
Somewhere
hate that
Over the Rainbow.
You're trying to think of the big ones.
Definitely the top three.
Riptide. Riptide's a really big one.
I don't know what that's like.
I was scared of Dennis and the dog.
I don't know.
It's like, I forget who the artist is.
Okay. Thank you for describing or attempting to describe your sound or style. This next question might be my favorite.
Really?
From your own music, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song? Okay, let me go through.
Favorite song.
All right, the stuff I've released as Sam Onso, I've done.
You can do before just your music.
Yeah. That's a tough question, man. I don't know. Like,
I think you do.
I could tell you probably the ones I've played the most.
Oh, favorite. not the most played.
That's really tough, man. That, like, the last one I put out, The More You Know, I had a lot of fun writing it. It can be a little wonky playing it, because there's like some weird structure things in it, but
Favorite song.
I know. And like the Gambit. I really like the Gambit a lot because that's.
I like stop.
Yeah, yeah. Hiding. I feel like Hiding and the Gambit are really little, close.
With your GoPro, not your GoPro, your DJI Osmo.
Yeah. Yeah, you helped me with a really cool acoustic-y version of it. Mm-hmm. I do like that one a lot too.
That's a good one. But then there's maybe songs that you've done and finished and never released.
I just finished one last week that I'm pretty proud of. But just writing, but I haven't recorded it or anything.
So it sounds like it's three songs right now. You got to pick between three. Is that what you're saying? The Gambit.
I like the Gambit, Hiding, the more you know. And if I want to throw it back, I really like that Selfish song I have. Mm-hmm. That's like the slow ballady kind of. If it means a lot to you, kind of one.
What's your favorite? It's like Choosing Children, I know.
It is.
That's actually probably even worse than Choosing Children because some children are dicks, so you obviously know.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on these children. Yeah. Spent a lot of time on these children
Let's be darker. Which ones are obviously not your favorite?
Obviously.
Yeah. Like you release it and you're like, you know what? I had to release it. We're done.
Just get it out of here.
It's not my favorite.
Well, there's definitely. See, I hate to say that.
No, but you're being constructive.
Probably like there's some that I wish I would have spent more time on.
Yeah.
Like
that's fine. That's fine.
Like what's released, I would consider maybe like a second draft or something. Probably the first single I put out as myself, Hearts and Crafts. I really like that song, but the version I put out, like I think I only spent maybe two recording sessions on it, and it's really bare bones. It's just like two ukulele parts and then like one vocal melody and a couple harmonies.
Which isn't bad.
It's not bad. I like that song a lot.
If you're comfortable and love layering, then it probably wouldn't be like your.
If I were to do that now, I would have had like bass, drums, and like a more full-bodied kind of sound. See, but that hurts me to even say that because that song.
Yeah, it's been said. It's recording. Okay. So we now know Sam hates Hearts and Crafts.
Okay, Hearts and Crafts. But in favorite, fact, I didn't pick.
If you can do a favor, make that the most played song he has.
Really?
Your first one, so it should kind of.
It's up there. It's not the most listened one I have right now.
I'm not saying it should, but it should be up there based on time on charts.
You would think. But favorite, I didn't pick a favorite. I would say. You know, I'll say Hiding.
Hiding's a good one.
Yeah, and I've played that one a lot.
It is
pretty
a good
familiar
one.
With that
cool.
one.
Cool. Hard question, huh?
Yeah, it is a hard question.
All right, let's get into the economics of the music business.
Okay.
Streaming is the new way of playing music.
Correct.
As a musician, what are the good and bad things about this? To your situation.
For my experience, yeah.
I'm getting fucked.
Absolutely. I am like, granted, I'm making more money having things released as opposed to not having things released.
But is that money in direct relations to how much you work for each song?
It's not.
And how much you put
it
into
is not,
each song.
All right.
Work
peek behind
and
the curtain.
Money.
At least to my experience, time in the studio is expensive. Yeah. And
a good studio that's hundreds of dollars.
For like just hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's really like a more involved kind of song, those numbers add up pretty quick. Depending on like the amount of, I guess it's really just time that you spend doing things. You know, if you're like me and you're terrible at selling yourself, advertising, marketing, you're just not very business minded. You better get somebody on your side that knows how to do that stuff, or it's just you're going to be struggling to, justify like those expenses for yourself. Cause like, I haven't made a whole lot of money, and I've probably been releasing stuff online since like 2019, and it's 2021 right now. And I haven't made a whole lot. But like, that's not necessarily why I do it though. I just like doing things.
Going back to making a lot of money, you don't make a lot of money.
Period.
But artists, I mean, the money you get is not a lot, period.
No, and like, so, like that's just for my case. But I think in general, it's just like there's a huge disparity between like the amount of time and energy like an artist will put into a thing and like the amount of money these services, take. Like streaming services like your Spotify's, your Apple Music's, your YouTube's, like they only give you like so much of like a percentage of, and they take a big cut.
You are what is called self-labeled.
Yeah, I'm independent.
You're the label, right. You're doing all that. So you have the ability to make more money.
I can.
But because Sam doesn't put money into, like he said, marketing.
Yeah.
It's harder for him to make that money.
Yeah, it's
even though I'm saying marketing, just because you have good marketing doesn't mean you're going to get
it. Doesn't, but it, out of it definitely improves your chances.
Yeah, like having SEO and being able to know what are the good words to put, like your webpage and all that. Those are all very good, but you know they also may not work.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, but there's no guarantee really in anything. So. Yeah,
having a label though is a pretty big help, but that's impossible now.
It's all about what you want out of it. Cause you know, if you get wrapped up in like say some kind of deal with like a record label, you know, like they don't do that for free.
They own you.
They,
your soul.
Yeah. Like
you are,
get a lawyer or be real good at reading. Cause you got to go over that documentation every real well. Page. Cause
so the bad part you get, what, 0.001 of a fucking penny per play, right? It's bad.
It's okay. So depending on what streaming service, so like if you're an independent artist and you want to get your music out,
use a distro.
Yeah. So I'm an independent artist, and like to get these songs and stuff out to the various stores and whatnot, you need what's called a distributor. And if like you can get there's quite a few different options, in this day and age, most of the stuff you're looking to get is going to be digital. There's a lot of services that do digital and physical, but physical's kind of been going downhill for like a long time now.
You must be very big.
Yeah.
And have been.
It's very expensive. Yeah. But like, you could go through like TuneCore was one. I use DistroKid. There's CD Baby. But yeah, all these, they all basically do more or less the same thing. They'll,
the same as podcasts do and audiobooks.
Yeah, like
anything audio.
Like for us, like Beer Me That Beer, we use one called Buzzsprout.
And it does basically the same thing. Yeah. You upload, this is where I want it.
Right.
Go.
And they'll give you like, they'll put it out to the various stores. Sometimes there's an option where it's like, oh, there's an ever expanding range of stores that like new ones are constantly coming in. And like, they're like, oh yeah, we'll push it out to those for like an additional fee maybe sometimes.
So So you just pay.
Yeah. Like I like DistroKid works perfect for me because it's like, it's more of like, I think of like a Netflix or something. It's like an annual subscription. So I just pay one time over the course of a year and it's not very much. Whereas like CD Baby, TuneCore,
they don't
like,
take a cut though, right?
No, you get all of that.
Nice.
But like CD Baby, TuneCore, they charge you, I think they charge a subscription and they charge per release.
Yeah. And then they'll, I bet after like 20,000-30,000 plays, they'll start taking more.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
use them. That's how, yeah. Usually it's like the more you play, it's like, well, now that you're getting more, we want more.
Yeah. But,
I guess kind of makes sense because they are the ones, you know, it's their server.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like there's, I understand,
but. It takes money to run servers, but at the end of the day, they're not that expensive.
True.
Rate servers are expensive, but no distributor should be making thousands and thousands and thousands
on somebody on what is basically somebody else's work. They just give them.
That being said, I think the time is coming where there will be some independent label conglomerate that will be like, you can make whatever you want, but
if it doesn't exist already,
yeah, it's coming. Yeah, because Spotify. All that copyright, all that it's gonna burn down because people do not like it.
Well, it's just the music industry is just kind of a mess in general at this point. The worst part
is it's the listeners. Like they just don't care.
But they totally have the power. Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Stop listening to Spotify
they could choke
all could change.
They could choke all of these services into doing whatever they want, but we're not unified.
What's the independent one that like people really like? And every like Friday, the first Friday of the month, they give all proceeds to the artists.
Is that Bandcamp?
Bandcamp. Yeah.
Use but nobody Bandcamp. Uses Bandcamp.
Yeah, because it's so fucking emo.
It's
good
it's,
answer though.
Yeah.
So good because it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. You probably should make more money. All right, real hard question.
Okay.
Do you think you deserve to make more money than you do right now?
I don't know if
honestly.
I honestly
should you make your investment back? Yes or no?
I mean, that's the dream. I honestly, I feel like I should be, but I don't think. Like, I don't think I'm owed. Nobody owes that to
me. I'm not saying you're owed anything. Yeah. I'm saying, do you think you deserve from the work that you've done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just hard work should be paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yeah. I believe you should. Cool. But then again, nobody's asking me for this.
I'm just saying, Spotify, it's coming. I want it to burn. I want to watch the world burn.
There's change coming.
It has to. But I'm also worried that listeners won't change because it's so easy.
It is. That's the problem.
Listen to Spotify. I don't listen to any of those subscription-based. I will buy my media. I buy CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I put them online.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't agree with subscription-based plans.
Oh, and I now, totally
TVs
get it.
And movies and stuff of that, way different.
Really?
Way different.
So what's the difference there?
Because I don't get to support independent movie creators on Netflix. There isn't a independent.
There's no alternative.
There isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we have independent film, like, you know, but they distribute through big platforms. Amazon, they all do it very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much easier to go to a website that someone made.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, buy, ship, whatever. Mm-hmm. Find the CD and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to physical. Let's make more trash for the environment. This is the time I'm saying physical.
Up, yeah. Let's bump up our
buy
waste.
Buy the plastic.
Yeah. Buy the plastic.
All right. To the future, Sam. Any goals music-wise for 2022?
2022. Okay. I'm not going to lie.
No.
I'm actually taking an enormous step backwards. No. Of course. Like
vinyl.
All right. So this isn't going to come as a shock, but that my office job that I quit so many odd months back, that was a pretty steady source of income.
Yeah.
That let me do a lot of things.
So now you're like.
So now I have less so that.
You have to make some decisions.
I do.
Like really, all in,
yeah,
or back to
well,
part-time.
Not necessarily. It's just like, you know, like I was saying earlier, like studio time is expensive. So thousands. Where's that money coming from? I'm like, you have to be sacrificing some stuff,
not this,
or strip back your release schedule, or at least like you know, slow down a little bit. But I don't want to slow down. You know, you always want to like see some kind of growth as time goes on. So I figure. I'm still writing, I'm still working on new music. But I think it's just getting that studio time is a little bit of a hurdle for me right now, just because the funds aren't
so
quite
you
there.
So you're actually slowing down. That's what you're saying for 2022.
Like if you're looking for new releases for
no,
me,
I'm just asking
like
you.
Polished releases,
but you're probably going to be playing more.
No, absolutely. Yeah. That's kind of been the thing, especially coming, you know, not like we're coming out of the pandemic, but.
We're still in the pandemic, but yeah.
Yeah. But with like, you know, businesses going back and forth between open and not, there's more musical opportunities available.
There's a call
available
for people to be out.
For performances.
And music could be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me see. So I've been, I was out like the past couple of weeks, but I've been steadily ramping up on like my live performing kind of stuff. And I've just been... just going around scoping out places to play, potentially get paid to play, which that's a whole nother conversation that I struggle with. Because
and I will say this, Sam is not a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
but he ain't talking to anyone very confidently.
Well, it's at this point,
I will say he's not a doormat,
uh-huh,
but he's not the most confident person when it comes to dealing with business,
right,
or adult things.
Well,
when's the last time you went to the doctor?
It's not the same. I don't care.
It's not the same.
It's not. It's really not.
I'm been dying.
I care about music.
But you need your body for that.
No, it's just...
Sam's going to... the most ironic thing, Sam's going to get fucking cancer in the throat.
It's fine. I'll figure out something else. It's fine. All right. I can't sing anymore. Composer
now. Who's
that guy? What, I'm going to be like the Louis Armstrong? It's rude. That guy had a beautiful voice.
When I was a young boy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there's going to be a market for that, that crooner emo covers.
But yeah, all right. So I want you to bring up that app you were telling me about.
Oh.
I really think that's a stupendous idea.
Super
smart.
Okay. Going along with this idea.
Of playing more.
So, you know, especially if, you know, you're a performing artist like me and you struggle to...
to interface... and get your name out there.
Not interface. Well, yeah, I guess in a way. Mm-hmm. Just marketing yourself, like selling yourself to these venues and whatnot. Just like, hey, I would love to play here, and I feel like this would be beneficial for both of us. So I suck at that. But
I mean, he said beneficial for both of us. I wanted to kick him out of my home right now for saying, like, get the fuck out.
I mean, like, you have to pitch these things to these people where saying. It's like, you know, entice me. Yeah, and granted, what I was doing, while I don't think it's a bad idea, like, since I suffer from, like, I'm just an idiot in social settings, like, I've been going to open mics whenever I can, mm-hmm, and just, like, playing every available chance I get, and, like, just being in the atmosphere and around these places and, like, get in front of these people, like, maybe I don't go out of my way to talk to them, but they... get familiar with your face and they're like, oh, okay, well, we know what you, mm-hmm, do because we see you here every week or whatever, mm-hmm, and that's like my slow game, mm-hmm, but there are other options available which might be more fruitful.
What's
so
it called?
For one, a few months back I discovered this really cool app which I stand by because it's just I think the idea is awesome, I think it's groundbreaking. It's essentially Uber for musicians.
I wouldn't say
it's
Uber.
It's like they took that business idea and applied it.
You're not in your car and playing for the person in the car. That'd be cool, though.
I mean, that's also something. But basically, this app is called GigTown. It was made by this father-son duo.
Geniuses.
Out of here.
Geniuses.
It's a really good idea. But basically, they came up with this idea because they're places like restaurants, wineries, private events,
yeah,
like they look for entertainment and like, you know, we have San Diego County, even just here locally, there's like a lot of talent around and a lot of time these places don't know how to get in touch with these people and like, how do we bridge that gap?
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, Facebook isn't the best,
yeah,
for sharing content. YouTube, mm-hmm, yes, but are people going to YouTube first? No.
Not necessarily.
It's Facebook.
Right.
Or Yelp.
Yeah.
And if you are a big man, you have a business, mm-hmm, and that's already set up.
Right.
But for someone like Sam, mm-hmm, independent, wants to do gigs all the time, perfect.
In theory.
In theory.
In theory. Doesn't necessarily.
Said, San Diego is still the worst place to be, and I will say this over and over again, for live music.
Not necessarily because it's bad for it. It's just there's...
It's the vibe. People are lazy. People don't like mm-hmm, they only go to big shows.
Yeah.
But they don't want to go to the coffee shop to see,
right,
some guy.
Not necessarily. I see what you mean. But the other thing is, especially in San Diego, it's competitive. There's a lot of
we are very close
aspiring
to LA.
Musicians.
Yeah. People
out
rather
there.
Yeah, it's like you live in San Diego, uh-huh, and you go to LA to do work, right, and then you come back. And you don't have to, because you don't have to live in LA.
No.
Because LA sucks.
Who wants to, yeah, live there? I mean, you can.
I
would never.
If you were born there and like you just stay there, great.
And you didn't know anything.
That is okay.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I'm going to go to LA and live there.
I've been literally anywhere else.
You should rethink and maybe move to Ohio.
But anyway, this super cool app, they basically just act as like a middleman. So they have this platform where musicians like myself, they can make, it's almost like a Facebook profile. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just an artist profile where you can do like a short bio of yourself, and then you can post links to like your music, your videos, and like it leaves people options to like review you.
Can you give like, hey, this much will get you this much?
It's so it's not like a Patreon.
I'm thinking like Fiverr. This would like Fiverr could buy this out and implement it into their large platform already, mm-hmm. because that's what Fiverr is, just right. for not just for live shows.
I mean, as far as I could tell, I haven't seen okay. that. I'll
pay for an hour for $100.
Like, I think you can post like rates.
Okay.
Like, there's an option.
Not like I'll play for an hour and only do covers for $300.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't done that. I haven't posted
Gig
a rate.
Town is awesome, though.
Yeah.
It's so smart.
It's like, a cool idea.
Those guys are
and, like, basically, they, like, so that's on the artist side, but, like, for the hosts, like, all these vendors or whatnot, like, if they all they have to do, make a profile, and then they just, if they have an event coming up, they just give it a name, give in some details, like, date and time, and, like, what kind of musical act you're looking for. Like, you could specify, like, some genres if you want a soloist, like, a duo, or, like, a full band, even. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if it is an event that you're posting for, you can, like, just put down, like, a straight fee, like, whatever expense you're willing to pay. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, 3-hour set, like, 80 songs at, like, a resort for, like, $300.
I mean,
and then you post that, and then, like, you know, whoever, whatever artist, like, happens to stumble upon it, they can all reply to it, and then you can check them out, yeah. see what you like, and then pick the one you want, so.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's cool.
It's kind of like that, what is that show where people, the truck driving show, where they bid on jobs?
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
It kind of reminds me of that, when we were talking about, like, that is just, you're making bids.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to be on it.
Yeah, you got to be on it. Like, I'm constantly, like, replying to just whatever new things they post, like, week to week. And so far, I've only gotten booked for one. And it was, like a brunch gig.
How'd
like
it go?
This past October. I thought it was good. The turnout was kind of, it was right around, what is it? Oktoberfest. And it was like the place I went to, like, they had just hosted like an Oktoberfest event the day before. Oh, so it was like,
well, you couldn't play that. They wanted a German band.
No, they were looking especially for this day. And like, there wasn't a lot of people that showed up, but the people that were there was like,
that's great.
Yeah.
I love
it. It was just
idea.
Fine. I'm like cool with that. So
awesome. All right. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite and least favorite part about being a musician?
That's a tough one, because I know it's not the same answer for everybody.
It definitely isn't.
Yeah,
but not everyone. Like, you're not. Every musician is at a different level, because there's just being a musician is really like being a penny on the ground. Everyone's different. Penny's different, and which is awesome.
It's cool. I mean, I like the. I really appreciate just the variety of stuff.
So favorite. And least favorite thing about being a musician?
Let me see. Probably, I would say writing, but not...
That's your favorite?
Initially.
But that's your favorite.
When you're in the midst of... When you're on a roll, like, you have an idea and you're just in the pocket and you're like, oh my God, this feels great. Like, and you just keep putting down these ideas and you're like, oh yeah, no, this is perfect. Like, that is so exciting to me. Like, just that process, like in the midst of that, not getting started, but when you kind of have a handle on what you're doing.
Coming out organically and just good ideas.
So I guess, and to kind of like couple with that, probably like even just like demoing when you like are fleshing out ideas. So like for me, like I like to, when I'm writing, it's usually like I'll do like vocal and like a real basic ukulele rhythm part, but when I couple that with demoing, then I start layering different elements, so it's like I'll be coming up with like leads and maybe some light percussion and like a bass guitar or something. But that's real exciting to me. I really like that part of it.
Least favorite.
I would say, so I like performing like a lot, mm-hmm. but if I'm performing in a group, I'm kind of a weirdo. I don't like relying on other people a whole lot. Because
are you talking about like they may not show up?
No, it's like not that they don't show up, but like I'm kind of a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. So if I'm playing with a group and like we rehearsed something and then this is us playing it at like a gig or a show or something mm-hmm. for like the first time. And like I can tell right away that somebody is not playing the way they've been playing, mm-hmm. like if they're just off, mm-hmm. I get upset. Okay. And I feel like that shows, and that's not what people want. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see you being upset. They're mm-hmm. just there for a good show. And then I get it in my head. I'm like, I'm noticing this. Everyone here is noticing mm-hmm. this. I'm like, you're doing a bad job. And like, and I don't want to be the bad guy yeah. and say you're doing a terrible job, because I'm not like that. But that's here. Mm-hmm. And I hate that.
So you don't like having a bad vibe on stage.
I hate playing a bad show when I know it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm. What about when it is your fault?
When it is my fault, I still hate it, but I eat it up. I'm like, oh, you fucked up. I'm like,
that's fine.
Just roll with yeah. it, man. But don't okay. stay bad.
Yeah.
Do what you can.
When it's someone else,
it's someone else, and everything else about the performance is going great. It's just the one thing, mm-hmm. and it's consistently bad. Mm-hmm. That's gonna drive me nuts.
Because they're probably high or drunk.
They're high or drunk, or they just don't care, or there's something else going on, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I regret this. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be playing with you. Mm-hmm. I hate that. But I don't want to, because mm-hmm. I don't like hating people mm-hmm. like that, because I'm like, you got up on stage, you play music, mm-hmm. you should feel excitement yeah, like yeah. this. So,
and as a solo musician, you mm-hmm. hired them.
Sometimes.
Okay.
It depends.
I'd be extra pissed if I paid
somebody. If I paid yeah. somebody, fucking, oh, I'm like,
but if
never.
They agreed to not do it for pay.
Yeah. If it's like a free thing.
Can I be mad? Not yeah. really, because they're spending money.
Right.
To be here.
I'm a little more forgiving.
Yeah. I would say I wouldn't. I'd be upset, but
yeah.
like, I wouldn't. But if I paid, I'd be like, right. you're done.
So I've had a few instances of yeah. that in the past, and I did not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I kind of generally just do solo stuff.
You do backing tracks and
so yeah, I like that sound, but mm-hmm. I don't like yeah. the possibility mm-hmm. of it not sounding the way I want mm-hmm. it to sound. So kind of anal about that. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what you get.
Okay.
I hope you guys are enjoying this.
That won't be in there. What is the biggest problem you have encountered in your journey of being a musician?
Besides money?
That's going to be really hard because everything is money.
It's true. Money is a big...
If you had $1 million to be a musician, you would go through that in a year.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
I would say studio time, doing a full album mm-hmm. as much as you can.
Right.
That's at least $10,000. At least
for just a typical 12 track,
2 to 5 uh-huh. marketing, probably 10.
I mean, if you are trying to reach everybody,
and that's if you're breaking it down into months, mm-hmm. graphics, distribution, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I could easily go through $1 million. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what's the hardest part? Besides playing on stage with bad people. You can't use that.
I can't. Ah, fuck. That's such a good excuse for things, though.
It is a good
excuse,
but
I already use it. You got it. You have to hit new things.
The journey.
I think a lot of, I don't know if all musicians go through it, but I know a lot of like singer songwriter types. I think when you get in your own head a lot, like I feel like the thing that stops me from doing a lot of stuff that I want to do is me a lot of the mm-hmm. time. So it's like
getting over that or through that.
Just working through all of like the self-doubt and like just kind of, I know it's negative, but like sometimes you'll put yourself down and mm-hmm. be like, you're like, oh, is this a good idea? And like, you're like second guessing yourself about like mm-hmm. the choices you're making. And then, you know, there's like a voice in the back of your head that's like, no, I don't. Don't do that. Don't waste your time. That's not a good idea. You could do something else. And like, but You know, maybe that thing that you're putting down is like the thing. Mm-hmm. So,
50-50 though, right?
Yeah, 50-50. But I'm trying to get over that. I think that's a constant battle. I don't think you're ever going to fully win. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you just got to be more open to trying stuff and just be nicer to yourself, I think.
So self-doubt.
Yeah. Well, not
or
even...
Or taking the criticism as criticism and not eating too much into
it. Yeah, it's like making things personal for yourself when really it's just to help you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not necessarily just like from like yourself as an individual, but even just like hearing like critiques in the wild.
Yeah.
Just like someone's like, hey, I really like, say you like did like a short set and like somebody you don't know heard mm-hmm. you for the first time. Like, hey man, I really enjoyed this part of your thing.
But
and sometimes there's a but, sometimes they're not. When there's a but, it's like, if you're anything like me, you like you zone in mm-hmm. on that thing. And you're like, oh, that broke that performance. You're like, that ruined that whole mm-hmm. thing. Or if they only talk about one part of your thing, you're like, well, why don't they talk about the other stuff? Yeah. So,
well, I mean, people are entitled to their opinions.
It's true. But you know, you don't do yourself any favors by boxing yourself.
You're not
like
water,
that.
Sam.
Be like water, my friend.
I mean, water, like everyone likes
that's like
water.
Bruce Lee
everyone
said.
Needs water.
Yeah,
you're not
stay
water.
Hydrated. Be you're healthy.
Not, you're not, yeah. Yeah. Hydration.
Drink your diapers.
This is a salad, a fruit salad. If I break it down, it's a fruit salad with a glass of water.
See, that's called being kind to yourself.
Treat yourself.
Generalize. Yeah.
Two more questions.
Okay.
This one is, I think a lot of people will enjoy.
Really?
If you could go back in time and give one piece of advice to yourself about your music career, what would it be?
If I could go back in time and tell myself about my music career.
Any advice you would give yourself?
Fucking start earlier.
Okay, well, that's impossible. So yeah, like, this is that's not the point. Advice, but, not like, no.
Something you could actually
I'm
change.
I'm leaving the time machine here. Yeah. I'm going to kill myself. Take it back. Kill yourself there and take his spot and uh-huh. start earlier.
Yeah. Not with what I know now, but start earlier so when I get to this
advice.
Point, I'll know more.
You idiot.
It's
not predestination.
Right. Write a lot.
No matter what.
Write a lot
no matter what. If it's good or bad.
Just get it
just,
out of your
just
system.
Just get it out.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like I think, what did I hear? I heard this awesome, I don't know if it was like, it was definitely like, I take it as a piece of advice. I don't remember if I read it or I overheard someone saying it, but they're like, write drunk, edit sober. So it's like, just get the rawest, mm-hmm. whatever,
emotional
kind of thing out of your mm-hmm. system. And then don't look at it like, try and take like an objective look at it. Just like, just get it out there. Don't like start editing it until it's complete and then mm-hmm. go in and just be like, okay, what can I salvage from all this stuff?
What is blah, 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 blah.
What is the most compressed, isolated, just strongest yeah. version of this thing? And just
do idea it. Wise. Hey,
yeah.
That's a good idea.
So like, it could be anything from like a lyric or like a melody or even just like an instrumental part. Just find something out of like just a bunch of crap that you do and then just like, you know, pick it out and then
see
iron
if
it
you
out.
Can, if you yeah. can plant a seed.
Yeah. Cause you know, you have like a billion bad ideas, but there's bound to be some good ideas, some
right.
salvageable ideas.
Right. Thomas Edison, chill.
That's, you know,
I didn't find one way to, you know, discover the light bulb. I discovered a million ways not to.
But like, that's not even just for like young me. I mean, if you're an aspiring creative, not even just like a musician, but just like,
right.
just make,
right.
make stuff.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that would have been real helpful to a young me.
Use it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're still young. 35 is young.
Good thing. Good thing too.
I'm not 35.
Good thing. That's not my age. So
Sam is actually 30.
Thank you.
A real old 30.
Thank you for comment. Yeah, let's wrap this show up. Huh?
Sounds like that is the most truthful.
That is
thing
very honest.
I've ever heard on this
yeah,
show.
It's a very honest take.
Last question.
All right.
And this is Sam's chance to sell it. What is the best way people can support your music career?
Huh? Best way to support my...
Please kill me. That is...
Just end it now. Please. I mean, if I'm honest,
COVID gods,
give me money.
Me.
No. I'm like,
a little donation.
Hit me up on Venmo. No, I mean, like, honestly, that's the most realistic.
Hire me.
Yeah, well.
Buy my music. Wait, do you have a buy page? Is there a place people can buy your music?
I mean, it all depends where you listen to music.
No, like, do you have a website?
No.
Can you go on DistroKid and look up Sam Onzo?
I mean, DistroKid's the distributor.
I know, but some distribute like CD Baby.
Yeah, I think you could.
Okay.
But
you don't have a Bandcamp.
I do. I have to update it. I'm behind a few releases.
This is your chance, Sam. This episode comes out next week.
If you're in San Diego and you need some entertainment, and you like our show,
just for yourself in your garage or living room.
Fuck, I'll play like
a dungeon.
I'll play for drinks.
You can have this large mocha-ish man. Mocha-ish. Come here.
No, but like, you know, just find
Gig
me
Town.
Online. Yeah, book me on Gig Town, or just if you want, even just not book me, but like come see me. Like, there's a calendar thing on there. I don't have anything scheduled.
Is it Sam Onzo?
Sam, yeah, Onzo.
So it's like gigtown.com/Sam.
Yeah, Onzo. And then like there's like an artist search option, and you can find
there's
me
no
that way.
Direct URL though.
If the best way to do that is just go through our Instagram, Beer Me That Beer. Mm-hmm. Go to our link tree and then go to my option. And I also have a link tree, and that has all of my socials.
Guess who put that there?
Yeah.
David did.
Best buddy.
David did.
Best buddy. Yeah. No, I mean, like, no pressure whatsoever. But, like, if you've ever heard any of my stuff and you like it,
buy
just
it.
Listen to it.
So,
wherever.
Do you have Apple Music? Like, can I buy
it's
your
on,
music
it's on, I think,
on Apple Music?
I think it's on Apple Music. It's on iTunes.
For purchase, though.
Yeah.
Like, 99 cents.
Yeah. So whatever online store where you can purchase things, I'm probably on it.
Buy his music. That is the best way. Or hire him for a gig.
Or just
Venmo him.
Leave me a cool comment somewhere.
Like, do a cover of Freebird on ukulele. All parts.
No.
No.
No. It's too. I don't want to do that.
That's hard. That'd be sick though. On ukulele, all parts.
I think I've seen some pretty cool Freebird covers, but it's like. That's
a
that's not my genre, yeah. Anyway.
Or skill level.
I mean, like I could like Mystery Guitar Man that stuff, but I don't think I could play it like legit.
Solo is hard. But yeah, thank you for agreeing to this interview, Sam. Sam knew about this.
I did not.
He did not know anything.
This was,
it was fucking amazing.
I don't like to.
He was so pissed.
I don't like to. Highlight stuff about myself.
If we can actually freeze the frame when I actually told him, you could see how angry
legit
he was.
Like
he was angry.
The different phases.
There's Sam is.
Did he really just
Sam's,
say that?
There's Sam's piss, which is not that angry because he's just like, stop. And then there's Sam angry. He's like, this actually might be the worst day of my life.
Where like I'm like, if I were to die right now,
that meteorite, COVID, whatever, kill me,
please.
It's almost like a stranger talked to him.
Yeah, it's almost,
actually,
it's really close.
Actually.
It's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate it. You being honest though.
Yeah. This was, I'll admit this was kind
fun.
Of, this was kind
Sam
of
Sam enjoyed his time. If you go back and look at every answer, he is being thoughtful.
Look, I mean
and
like.
They weren't stupid fucking questions either. I took my time.
Yeah, no.
Damn it.
David, you're good for interviews. You're good.
I had other questions too. We just don't have time.
Well, we'll have to flip this at some point. So.
No, we won't.
David, why did you start the channel?
I had your creative process, your strengths, your favorite venues. Like, I had tons of questions that were great. But we don't have time for that. But we do have time for Sam's suggestion.
All right. Suggestions. I got another YouTube channel for you guys.
All right.
So I know, you know, this at this point we are... In the in-between, post-Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. pre-Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever December holiday
I think
you fancy.
Hanukkah is at the time.
Hanukkah.
Right? Hanukkah's a week, right? I think it starts next week.
Well, though. We were going over this last.
It's Chanukah.
Chanukah.
Dreidel.
Now that we know what those are. Chanukah. But Chanukah. So this probably would have been a better suggestion around Halloween time. But so Halloween YouTube channel. It is called Dead Meat. And basically there's a series in particular I really like, which is hosted by this really, he's pretty funny. This guy named James A. Janisse. And it's
Agnes?
Called
James Agnes
Janisse. James A. Janisse.
Oh,
like it's an
I thought you were saying it really
like
slow.
Why are you saying it weird? A. Janisse. Agnes? No. That's a good joke though. And he hosts a series called Kill Count. And basically they'll go through
the movies and get their
they'll go
count,
through
yeah.
all the various horror franchises.
I didn't know the channel though. I've seen this though. Yeah.
He's funny, and they basically just go through all the various horror franchises. Like they go anywhere from like the real indie and classic to the more contemporary and like even franchise films. So like recently he went through like a good chunk of like the Hellraiser movies, but basically they'll just summarize or recap the plot of whatever movie they're covering that week, and even like throw in like some jokes and trivia about the production and all that stuff, and it'll close the thing off with like the kill count. So it's like however many people died over the course of the movie, and he'll like break that down into like how many kills per minute, and it's a real fun way of like ingesting horror. It's like without having to watch a whole movie.
Yeah.
So it's like the cliff
notes. They show the movie.
They show clips of the movie and with scenes.
It's like the one guy that does, like, he always says, "What's wrong with this movie?" And he does like 30 things he hates about.
Oh, that everything wrong. Not quite like that.
But they show clips.
They show actual footage and stills and whatnot.
Thank you, YouTube, for not being giant dicks about that. I'm talking to you, Twitch.
I hear he does occasionally have to deal with like the strike stuff.
The DMCA. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a great channel.
You
He's
would
a
think
good host.
Just want the money, like.
Yeah, it's free.
It's an ad.
It's a free advertising. Yeah. And some of these movies are so old and obscure. It's like the boost.
And
is
unlike us,
nice.
He has the subscribers.
Yeah.
So he's making money on our OG content.
Right.
We have ads on our videos and we don't get anything.
YouTube.
We just need 9,830 27 followers to go
there. Right. And so. Yeah, that's my suggestion this week. That's
awesome.
It's a good show, and there's a complimentary podcast that goes along with it too.
Oh, you did podcast too?
Yeah, I haven't listened to a lot of it, but it's more of the same.
Awesome. Thank you for that, and thank you for watching and or listening.
Keep drinking, keep listening. Beer Me That Beer is a San Diego-based craft beer YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, and podcast show.
And for more of us, check out beardmethatbeer.com. That's beardmethatbeer.com. If you want to reach out directly to us, email us at bmtbinfo@gmail.com. That's bmtbinfo@gmail.com.